God, it feels good to be back.
Yeah, back in the Haunted Basement Studios.
And sober, too.
And, yeah, that's something new. Let's try that again.
It's been a rough couple of weeks, man.
Since we broadcasted on last Saturday, it seems like Sunday took forever to get here.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
I know, because...
It feels like I haven't been here in a while.
I know, because we broadcasted on Saturday, and so there was, like, what, 8 days between shows?
Well, yeah, instead of 7 days.
Too long. Instead of seven, it just seemed like forever. Yeah.
It just creeped by. Well, when you're laid up on a couch all week, too, like I was, sitting there holding your left ear, time just seems to creep by, too. I think everybody's getting sick right now. I know everybody's been getting hit, and I got hit this week pretty hard.
I was hit, 2 months ago, and it was horrible, maybe it was, January, so.
I couldn't hear on my left ear, period.
Wow.
Tympanic membrane swelled to the point where I cut off my hearing. I'm like, I wear earplugs, you know.
There's no air getting to my brain anymore.
No, it's just ridiculous. Special.
As if you need that, yeah.
Blow in my ear.
Special show today.
Oh, we have an absolutely phenomenal show today.
Yeah, we have a very special guest, but we also have a guest of honor today, too.
That's what I've heard. First, let's go through the introduction. Okay? Let's do this.
Keep putting it off.
We'll
get it on. Come on, you got to help us out here.
Just in case you wanted to know, this is Ghostly Talk. We're a weekly live broadcast about paranormal and ghosts and ghost hunting and things like that.
Sex.
And sex. And we're aired on Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo.net. We have our own website, which is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
So, and everything's linked up through there. So if you just go to ghostlytalk.com, you can link up to Pioneer. You can link up to our guests' websites. You can visit and chat with other people who visit the website. There's a forum section. There's the journals, which I need to write a new one. I've got so much going on in my life. I've got to make a new journal.
I just enjoy reading them now.
I love
all I can do is sit there and post up own pictures I make at work all day long. So
I read every.
I can't think of anything creative to write anymore.
I read every journal entry. But anyway, so there's all kinds of stuff at ghostlytalk.com, including a link to Pioneer, including a link to where we're aired not live. While we're live on Sundays from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern, we also are carried throughout the week in a rotation schedule on Pioneer. We're also carried throughout the week on several other stations. And there's links to those stations, Moist FM.
KSSX
and 11LRNI.
And a host of other people we don't know.
We're also linked to the Pentagon, too.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So
they monitor our emails daily.
Yes, they do.
But I didn't say that.
We love the
Pentagon.
We actually got some interesting email. There's a fellow in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We're here in Detroit, Michigan. We're near Detroit, Michigan.
So we're in the southern part of the state.
We're in the southeast quadrant of the lower peninsula. Well, in the upper peninsula, he's looking for members. So I'm going to put a link to his site on the website. So www.ghostlytalk.com. There'll be links. There'll be all kinds of cool stuff.
Okay.
So cool. Now, by the way, I am Doug.
Oh, I am Scott L.
And I am Karma.
I'm Will.
Excellent.
We are completely unprofessional this week.
I think we did pretty good. We brought the show in with on a rampage.
All right, it's Doug's birthday.
And that. And there's also that, too.
How old are you today, Doug?
Well, according to the cake, I'm 21.
Yeah. We're taking you to the nearest topless bar after the show. If you want to meet us, just give us a call. Those of our friends.
Oh, wait, it says times two.
Oh, bummer. I hate that one.
They have those new exponential candles you can get with that.
Yeah, with the little cubed and squared. Yeah.
When you're throwing your birth date out in scientific notation, it's time to die. I think that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, yeah. If you have to have times 10 to the something, then it's time. Well, what happens is I am 27 for the 10th year in a row. or I'm 21 for the 16th year in a row, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah. I mean,
that
is about the biggest plate of optimism I've seen and tasted all week.
Figure.
I feel 27.
You know what? You act like you're 20. Well,
I act like I'm
you act like
12.
You're 13. That's cool. That's all right.
And you still look young.
So I'm getting the crow's feet, the little gray.
You got the emo haircut going still?
Yeah, well, I'm going to work on that.
You got to bleach it blonde in the front, though, so you look all emo and stuff.
Oh,
and then you
got to
start writing poetry in your journal, like you're all depressed and shit.
What a cool idea. Because I'm so different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because, you're different like everybody
else.
I am.
Oh, no, I'm not wearing all black now, but I was wearing all black earlier.
We're going to get, emo Doug going. We're going to do a whole photo shoot, emo Doug, like all those abstract pictures, like you're not looking at the camera. And you're everything down.
Right, right.
Oh, I'm so depressed.
In black and white and stuff.
It's like Linkin Park. Like every Linkin Park photo ever taken.
Right.
It's hot in here.
It is hot in here.
Take off your clothes.
It's a sudden burst of heat. It's all the candles on
we're
the
table. We're not used to this amount of BS in the basement. You know, I haven't been here in a couple weeks, so.
Lots of hot air.
All right, so Doug is 21 for the 16th year in a row, or yes. 27 for the 10th year in a row.
Whichever way you want to look at it.
And we do have to do a chorus of, I don't know. Queen, We Will Rock You.
We will. Yeah, because you can't do the happy birthday song because that's copyrighted. So.
Oh, what do you mean?
I'm serious.
It's
I told you that before.
Didn't know. Wait a minute. Did we sing it on my birthday?
He's a jolly good fellow.
We did for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Okay, can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
As horrible as possible?
As absolutely.
Will, I want you to do. Will,
what if we did a rap, like a happy beat day? Happy beat.
Oh, do you know, I actually think.
Yeah, cue up some stupid beat.
I think that you are allowed to do that if you take, if you change it.
Around, yeah.
What if we gangster it out?
You can gangster it, sure.
Can we gang? Yeah, oh, I forgot. See, I say gangster.
You got to gangster.
I'm too white for this show now, apparently.
No, you're just not jive enough.
I don't have any jive. Well, the jive server was shut down. Did you hear about that, Doug?
I heard. You told
Somebody
me.
Somebody shut the jive server. My favorite
Well, I. You know what I'm glad is shut down? The porno, or it's not shut down, but I'm glad whoever was doing, there's a pornalizer.
A pornalizer, yep.
It's called the pornalizer, and in the stats, because we get statistics on the Ghostly Talk website, and who visits it.
Oh, that's all from me.
And I'm telling you, no, it can't be just from you.
That's me 4 times a day.
Because
in case you're wondering, we're trying to open this stupid cake up.
It's taking forever.
It's like it's bulletproof. I think. Didn't you bring this thing over in an armored car? We're gonna wreck all the frosting. Oh, it's gonna be ugly. You're gonna kill this poor cake, man. Oh, the poor cake. Oh.
There we go.
Oh, look at Doug.
Those are gunshots.
Yeah. That's a time lock. That's the air releasing. This was built.
It's fresh.
This was built with the pyramids, actually. All right, so okay, what are we gonna do, Will? Okay, I want you to take the bass end. You take the alto, and I'll take the tenor end. Okay.
Okay.
You guys know what the hell I'm talking about?
No.
Do you care? No. All right, 1, 2, 3. For he's a jolly good fellow. God damn it! Start singing. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. And there goes the levels we can't deny.
It's Abe that he denies.
It's a strange. All right, happy birthday, Doug. Okay.
Hey, Will, you got to take a picture.
It says here you're. It says from my angle here that you are.
12.
Is. You're
dyslexic 12.
You're happy is, Doug. You're is. Oh, God. And there goes the picture. And it'll be up on the website sometime this week. Okay, Will, this isn't a modeling shoot. Just go ahead and.
Oh, that's a little too close.
See, this is like quality radio.
This is quality radio
right here.
Your penis is in it. Get out.
No! He's going to cut the cake with that thing.
For he's a jolly
good fellow. Will. Come on, work with me,
it's
baby.
Just
work with
a
me.
Picture of a
You're like
cake.
A rabbit.
Yeah.
Last week with camera, man.
Okay.
I thought he was a French photographer last weekend. The guy had the camera. He like got 50 pictures of me drinking my drink.
Yeah,
I have all these pictures of me drinking my drink.
Because he was proud because he made it.
Well, yeah.
That's
well,
there we go.
If you know Rabbit, he's real proud of that stuff. So happy birthday,
I'll make a wish.
Okay, yeah.
Got it.
I know what it was.
You got smoker's lung in action there.
I know what your wish was.
Huh.
That we see something tonight.
It was very close to that.
We're going to the stripper bar. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm good.
We're going straight down to 8 Mile.
Couple of headlights. Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere because I'm sick.
I know.
Mama's not feeling too good. I don't know. You gonna be able to make it through the show?
Huh?
You gonna be able to make it through the show?
I hope you do. Well, we are having a guest.
Yeah.
What show? That's prescription talking. Yeah.
This is pre-recorded.
So, yes, we. We're going to go hunting down to Elmore, Ohio. There's a
road trip.
We're going. It's about an hour and a half or so away from here,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's the theory. The story is that a motorcyclist who had just returned. This soldier returns from World War I.
Mm-hmm.
His love interest woman had promised to wait for him, but when he's going to, you know, surprise her that he's back, he drives his motorcycle over to her farmhouse, and
she turns out she's waxing it with somebody else.
Turns out she's already married. Yeah. She had married while he was away.
Yeah.
So he absolutely has no morals whatsoever.
Women are terrible.
And so he's all really mad, gets on his motorcycle, drives furiously around, and gets in an accident, gets decapitated.
Mm-hmm.
And this was March 21st, way back, you know,
four score and 7 years ago.
Yes, and so now the legend is every March 21st, when if you go on this bridge near Elmore, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and you put your keys on the dash, honk your horn 3 times, and flash your light 3 times, the single motorcycle headlight will come from down the road and come at you, and then like disappear at the halfway point of the bridge.
I wonder if I'll be able to jump on it.
I don't know. They said that a fellow named Richard Gill,
take me to the
we'll
house.
We will definitely have some activity.
They said,
I won't go home.
There's Cameron. Oh, my God.
Oh, he found happiness.
Will, are you running? Are you running the film, Will? Oh, my God. Please run the kids.
He is no longer at rest.
then you guys get charged with the murder of the But that's only if I was going.
So what happens is... I know. We're gonna have to do something next year.
Yeah,
next year
definitely.
We'll have to take you down there. But
definitely.
if it pans out, it may not pan out. We'll find out. But what happens is a fellow named Richard Gill, somehow connected with Bowling Green State University in Ohio, back in 1968, decided to test the theory. Him and an unidentified friend. And they went to the bridge. They had a video camera, a camera, and some audio tape, and they were going to see it. Evidently, the experiment is repeatable because he said they tried it several times.
Yeah.
And the thing is about Richard Gill is he's sort of unlocatable. I don't think anybody's actually talked to a Richard Gill who has done this, although that may or may not be true.
Is he still alive? Do we know?
No idea.
Nothing.
Nothing about Richard Gill. Evidently, there's also a paper in Chris Woodyard, she wrote in her book Haunted Ohio about this legend.
Yeah.
She says in the book, references in the book, that the Journal of the Ohio Folklore Society, the Ohio Folklore Society Journal, which of course does not exist. It's the only thing close is the Journal of the Ohio Folklore Society. This article in 1972 written by Richard Gill about his experiment. And so what we're going to try and do is I've looked on the internet. It turns out there's a copy of this at the University of Detroit Mercy.
Yeah,
that's where I went to university. So I'm going to go there and look in the stacks and see if I can locate this 1972 edition of the Journal of the Ohio Folklore Society.
Now, do one of us have a video camera tonight? I know this is kind of last minute.
I can let you borrow it.
Can we borrow yours?
Yes, you can. Okay.
That would be cool.
What we'll do is we're going to go out there tonight and we'll literally tape this from birth to death.
Okay.
We'll start it out, and maybe if we can get this thing encoded down, maybe we'll put it up on the site. I mean, let's try it. We can try something, you know, just to show we actually did it.
Yeah, we actually do ghost hunts once in a while.
And maybe we'll catch something. You never know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
I've
had experience with this personally. And I was very, very upset when nothing happened. So we'll have to see. There'll probably be a lot of editing done to the tape, per usual. But we'll see what happens. I mean, this was like last minute thing. I came in, you're like, hey, we're going.
Well, Will and I were going regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we were like
so you don't
planning.
Need oh, fine. I'll just go
no, we were definitely going.
I'm going to watch TV with Fat Jesus. And, you know,
maybe
you
we
know.
Can.
Oh, this is so much more fun.
Maybe you guys can meditate before you guys go out so you have a clear mind.
Ooh.
We're going to sit and tell fart jokes the whole way down there.
Oh, that'll clear your mind.
Yeah. That's all we do.
Maybe your nose.
So anyway, so that's what we're doing after the show.
Yeah.
Is we're going to go down to Elmore, Ohio, see what's up.
So we got a night ahead of us.
Yeah,
we
won't.
We got bands coming out.
Yes, well, that's the big news. We have Vance West of Trinity Science International. That's trinityscience.com.
Yeah, he's got some major stuff to talk to us about.
Major news.
Can't say a word about it yet. He's got some big stuff.
I will. It's about...
Shut up. He will hurt us.
He can hurt me.
There's a picture of him on the website. He's doing some karate stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
I don't think I want to line up with the guy.
He's like a karate master or something. And
no,
so
I don't want to upset the guy. He's really cool.
No, don't upset him.
One thing I did want to mention, I know I vaguely from what I do remember of last weekend. Finish it up, honey. Don't start and finish.
I didn't want to pull it off.
You remember
vaguely from what I remember, we did discuss this thing.
I wonder what
about
people think about that. You said
see, it's radio.
Finish it up, honey, and she said, I don't want to pull it off.
Let your mind let their minds work with it. Okay?
This is why we don't have a webcam.
Yeah, having bad hair days.
You did mention this. Let's just start from the beginning. I'm sober now, and this would be really cool to talk about. Because I really still want to get in touch with this guy. You called me about, this is like 2 weeks ago now, going, Scott, somebody, you just say East Point?
East Point.
East Point. A gentleman in East Point in one of the suburbs down there, which is about 10 minutes away from where we're at right now. It's where my band rehearses at. I used to live there pretty much. Just tell you what, you go ahead, because you know a lot. I was plowed last weekend, so you go.
Well, what it was, I was watching the news, which is something I don't normally get to do, but the news story was about this guy that apparently seen and caught on his cell phone, he took a picture of a UFO that was spotted above East Point.
His home, basically.
But the whole like mystery behind the whole thing or whatever is that his dad or his son had called him into his bedroom. That's how he first found out about this thing up in the air. And when his father got in there, his son was pointing out the window up to this thing up in the sky. And he looked up and he's like, "What the heck is that?" And then when the boy got up from the pillow, it had cassette beams down into his window, and it had like basically striped his pillow with red stripes. And where the kid was laying with his arms behind his head, you could see a perfect outline of white of where the kid had his head and his arms folded,
on the pillow. Yeah.
And all around that was stripes. So then he went outside, and by then all the other neighbors had spotted it, so they're all out in the street, and he held his phone up and took a photo of it.
Yeah.
And so then he called the news channel. They came out there, and they basically showed the photo. I mean, it's pretty convincing. Mm-hmm. It looked like one of those UFO pictures where you see a disc with a dome on top and a dome on bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those kind from the picture that I see.
Actually, with those domes on the bottom, I actually have a book on this that I actually read. And those domes are actually magnetic polar devices. That's the flotation device. That's what they theorize what make these discs float.
And hover
and do all that neat stuff. They work on the poles of the planet, basically, which kind of pulls away from the argument that they're alien in nature, because if they're working on the magnetic poles of the Earth,
they have to
be terrestrial, basically. Well, maybe they pull into the gravitational pull of the planet. Maybe they work off that. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
that's
all
mathematics there.
All huge bodies have gravitational forces.
Yeah.
And they affect each other, so perhaps it's
I just know those little domes in the bottom, that's something I read up on, and those things actually are responsible for the hovering effect that these things seem to have, what people see. Now,
and Scott, I had emailed them last week.
Yeah,
again,
this is where we're getting frustrated.
And I haven't gotten a reply. I know they're busy and everything, but when you feature a story like that, you should at least put something on the internet.
Well, you called me and said, "Hey, dude, what's up?" And I'm like, "What station?" Because I don't watch TV. But you're like, "What?" I'm like, "What station?" Okay, I'll look it up. Went on the site and searched that thing top to bottom.
There's nothing on it.
Even went to the index version
of the site and said, "Okay," and search Google, searched everything, nothing.
And
period.
Nothing. The video for that day, because you can go through their video archive.
Yeah, and you can see the little video clips
of
the story.
They wouldn't pull up. No video.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And we've been trying. I know we've all been kind of busy with just living, and I know I was thinking about this last night when I was going to bed, and I wanted to bring that up on the air tonight and actually get it out there to people who live around this area here in Michigan, especially people in East Point. If you know about this or know anything about this or have any way we can get in contact with this gentleman, we'd like to talk to him about this. I'd really like to see, you know, what the heck happened here. This is local. This is
well,
right here.
Here's the thing, okay? I know that there's... now, we did a little bit of research last night as well, Will and I, and it turns out there's no... on the MUFON site, the Mutual UFO Network, right? Mutual UFO Network. Huge organization.
Yeah.
Okay? I saw a sign on Cass Avenue, just west of Grossbeck, in the Marquardt Upholstery Building, right?
Uh-huh.
I saw a sign that said official MUFON HQ or something like that, or official MUFON chapter or something. I don't remember. Something about MUFON, anyway. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. They're right here. I mean, this is really close. Mm-hmm. I should pop in and say hi. You know, I'm Doug of Ghostly Talk, and, you know, sure, ghosts and UFOs are a little different, but it's all paranormal,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And it's all paranormal, fringe science, everything like that. So let's, you know, I should go introduce. And I never did, right? But I thought that was really interesting. So I kept that in the back of my head for now probably about a year and a half or so. And
good following up there.
Yeah, so I
now you're gonna go.
Woo! Oh. But but it's in there, you know, it's stuck in there with a lot of other useless information. And I said, Will, drive by and see if the sign is still there, right? So he drove by last night. Well, the street is pitch dark, you know, and it was like, what, 1 a.m.?
Where's this at? Cass and Grossbeck?
2:30, Cass and Grossbeck.
Okay, so
it's not far at all. And
I know exactly where it's at.
Karma, yeah, you're the native. Where's the crack at? Is there any crack there?
No, you have to go.
You have to go the other side
north,
of Grossbeck.
Yeah, you have to go north.
Yeah, where I was looking at houses at, actually.
North Grasset.
Yeah.
Remember I told you
about
that?
Yeah, I'm not like, buying that one. No.
I'm like, no, Scott, I know that street. Not by you know, having you know, people I purchased from or anything, but I know I've had to drop a few people off in that area. And it's like, I'm going to come to a rolling stop. Can you jump out and lock the door?
Fucking roll.
Lock the door.
Jump out while you're jumping out. Lock the door. I'll meet you two blocks
over. We should follow that up. Maybe go check that place out. That might help.
I mean, they may have info. They may have already talked to the guy.
They may have. Yeah.
I didn't catch the name of the street because I was too busy focusing on the photo of it to see how legit it was.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said that she could have sworn they said Beaconsville. And if it isn't
Beaconsville, there's a street called Beaconsfield.
Right.
Beaconsfield, yes. And if it is that street running through East Point, it's only a couple city blocks because of 94.
Yeah, it's not. Well, 94 is about a good 2 or 3 miles away from Beaconsfield if you head east.
But it would have to be in between 8 Mile and 9 Mile because it stops.
Well, yeah, in East Point, yeah, East Point. So it's a very small area. That's a very small, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, so I think it was Beaconsfield.
It had to be Beaconsfield. That's the only street I can think of that's in that general area. But regardless, there's got to be somebody out there.
You know what I did? I searched on the web for like different UFO sites, mm-hmm. and I did come across one. I don't remember the name of it, but I reported it. Not as a witness, but as a hearing it, and that they did have it on the news channel.
Okay.
In hopes that maybe he could find the right person to talk to. So.
Yeah, it's the matter, but
what happened?
I want to get it out there so people could hear about it at least. And maybe somebody...
Well, instead of that joke of a story, you said the story was kind of a joke.
Very condescending.
They were making fun of the guy. The guy was getting
pissed.
Which is
terrible.
He's like, I know what I've seen. I don't care. I mean, he was getting really aggravated.
I'm not gonna stereotype that area. Those are working people. That's the suburbs. That's a working man's area. There's not too many people out there that have time to sit around all day long and like find themselves. Okay.
And he got he has a photo of it.
Yeah, I mean, and that alone. Let's talk to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's a digital photo, which is not worth as much as one that would have a.
Clear.
Yeah, that would have, like, if you had something that you could, you know, have, oh, here's a negative,
right,
you know, so you can,
it a little,
yeah, or... I mean, so you can't, you know, it's not as good as having an actual film photo, but it's still some kind of evidence, and you know, might want
to
take it into account.
Something to talk about, because, I mean, especially in that, and it's so local, too, it's so sick
and
close.
Actually, there was a UFO spotted in 1972, I found out, in East Point. There's a lot of
really?
Them. They have this website I went to, they have it all mapped out, and they have like little dots where there were sightings at, and you would think up north would have the most activity. No.
And there's tons.
It's here.
It's Metro Detroit area. All
there's
around
tons,
Detroit,
there's tons of bands that rehearse
out.
There, too. I see a correlation.
There is a ton
we're getting
of
all
activity.
This vibration, all this rattling and shit going on
you
around
you guys
there.
Are honing them in.
Wouldn't that be cool?
But
it's so neat.
It turns out another thing that Will mentioned last night when he was digging through the MUFON website is he was looking through their database of sightings, and there was a sighting that he had, right, of the red lights in the sky.
Yeah, end of January 1997.
And it turns out that, but you were up in Chesterfield, New Baltimore area.
Right.
Well, not too far from there, you know, like galactically wise, yeah. down in Grosse Pointe. Grosse Pointe was some reported red lights in the sky.
Really?
That same night.
Same night.
So that actually, even though he, you know, Will never made an official, like, you know,
report
or anything like that. There are official reports of the red lights on that day.
These red lights, what are they? Was it just a one red light, two, three?
Three, usually.
You know those lights you see from, like, the cable towers that keep planes from hitting
them? The beakers?
Yeah, those beacons.
Yeah.
Well,
beakers.
It was a little bit bigger than that. A little bigger than those lights.
But there, how many were there?
Probably close to 15, 20.
Jeez, old Pete. And they were moving?
Oh, they're all over the sky, and there were planes. You know, I live pretty close to Selfridge Air Force Base, like within, you know, 7 miles, and there was planes like surrounding these things, all over the place.
Really?
There was a story like that. It was up by Standish, Michigan, which
there was a big.
And they're supposed. Yeah. When I went on this website and I was checking out all the recent ones for February, March. Supposedly the lights are still there. They haven't gone. They're like three lights in the sky flashing. That you can be seen from all around. They're still there.
They get stuck or something?
No, it's like, you get there in a few hours.
They don't.
How far is that from Elmore, Ohio?
I love this free thinking. I love this free thinking when you don't have to work tomorrow. It's so wonderful. Oh man, let's go to Japan. Let's travel the whole world.
Bing, bing, bing.
We can be there in 14 hours.
Yeah, let's go, dude.
We'll live for 3 hours and fly right back.
Yeah,
Stannis is only about an hour and a half.
Oh, more than that.
No,
I think
not.
It's more than that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's about an hour and 45.
Well, the way
minutes.
You drive, maybe.
No.
Yeah. Anything over an hour and a half is in the sticks. It's official.
Oh. Well, you know, actually, Will decided to take Little Road. You know, up at, if you turn.
That sounds like it moves slow.
Yeah.
Well,
he called me on the cell phone, and he had gone up Grosbeck, turned left onto Cass, decided there's absolutely no way he could read the sign in the Marquardt Upholstery building, right? Because it was just way too dark. So he drives to the next light and turns right, which is, it goes around that huge cemetery, whatever cemetery that is.
It sounded like a retirement community.
Oak Grove or something, Grove Cemetery.
Clinton Grove.
And so he turns right, and it's called Little Road. And he's like, I've never been on Little Road, so I'm taking Little Road. And he's like, woo-hoo! I mean, it's like farm country, really. I mean,
there's nothing out there whatsoever.
Yeah,
there's very little.
And he's like,
you get out towards Elizabeth Row, which is the
there's all kinds of things.
You can see red eyes. There's a
cemetery right across the street. I can't forget the name. I guess it's called St. James or something like that.
That's where you and
that's
I.
That's the cemetery we froze to death.
We
at. Yeah,
froze.
We died.
Actually got frostbite. I'm pretty sure.
It's right across the street from the jail. And like the major police area.
Oh yeah,
and it's just wide open at 2:30 in the morning.
That cemetery. That's why it's wide open. We jumped out. That was the night before we went to the Mansfield for the first time.
Yes, and we were
both
gonna,
had new cameras.
And we were going to test our cameras. We were going to break them in, make sure we knew where the controls were.
It was 15 degrees below zero. We get out of the car and take about two pictures, and my fingers hurt.
My fingers actually,
we were in pain.
Yeah,
were screaming in the car, going, "Oh my god!"
That's
this
where
hurts.
You have to put your hand somewhere.
I did.
Yeah,
I put it anywhere.
In the nut bowl.
It was so bad. My fingers were so like. First, they go through different stages, and one of the stages is where they're really cold. The next stage is they're actually warm. Because they're so cold, yes. Mm-hmm. And they were frozen. The next step was frostbite. That's right.
Vance is probably like, okay, guys.
And I want cake.
Oh, we'll cut the cake, too.
Cake.
All
right, so yeah, we're going to be right back. Vance West.
Vance West, important announcement, remote viewer.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Ghostly Talk, www.ghostlytalk.com. Blah, blah, blah. Be right back. Thank you.
It's paranormal, scientific. It's ghostly.
Stagehand tools.
You have tools. Know where to put them? Want your hands free to do other things? Try a stagehand tool belt. Stagehand tool belts can accommodate any task, whether you're building a stage or bringing down a haunted house.
Stagehand tools.
For all your industry needs, we have, for example, EMT pouches, radio pouches, tape measure holders, mailbags, and numerous flashlight accessories. Just go to
www.stagehandtools.com
and see all the cool stuff that Stagehand Tools has for you.
www.stagehandtools.com.
We know where to stick it.
Hello, this is Aaron.
This is Jennifer.
And something very dark would like you to listen to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi Hollis with AlienAdvice.com, and I'm coming to you with some questions that I get from people from my column, Alien Advice. And the next question I have is, Jay asked, I wanted to ask how I can help my son to be able to guard against the shadows, and I would say aliens too. He is very young, not yet two, but he wakes up with night terrors, and the way he looks around the room, I know he sees something. I also remember when I was little, I had trouble that way also. Not so anymore, because I've gotten away from my visitors when I was a teenager. They mostly came to me in my dreams as a cloaked figure, but I pray or ask for protection for myself and my son. But is there anything else I can do for added protection for him? Jay, as for your son, the prayers help for certain, and I wouldn't let that fly for a minute. With him being so young, it makes it harder since he cannot fully understand about choices and standing his ground against such creatures that I consider to be dark. So I feel you are more than stepping up to the plate to help him when he cannot currently help himself as much. And thinking that every little bit helps, let's get to the bits of it. Having religious symbols and stuff like that above his bed or something helps, I feel, because I think it's the strength behind the symbol that truly helps more than just the symbol. You could even find him some sort of like religious t-shirts or whatever it is that you believe in. I wouldn't even suggest to wear a necklace or anything like that since the kid's so young. To sleep with something like that might be dangerous. But saying your prayers with him, having him repeat as best as he can with you might help as well. Saying tidbits of prayer throughout the day couldn't hurt either. I would say make it into a song of some sort and help make him sing along with you and see if that will help out. So I just feel that any little effort helps, and I think it's the thought behind it more than like religious this or religious that or symbols this. I think it's more of our strength that really helps protect against these kinds of things.
That was the time when I could breathe my life in you. And one by one, your pale fingers started to move. And I touched your face, and all I felt was you felt like an angel. You
whatever. I don't know what part, man.
Look, I pull it out.
See?
There's something wrong with the board.
I pulled that cord out. It's out halfway, and then the music clears up. I don't get it. I don't know. Don't ask me.
You know what that means?
Dirty contacts?
Bad cord.
Bad cord. I'll get a cord.
Reboot.
Good idea.
Now, there is a voice of reason right
there. Yes, there we go. Some of we need
a voice of reason down here.
Yeah, we don't have one of them yet.
Yeah.
Thank God
you're here, man. Jeez.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
Karma.
And Will is not even gonna. He's not.
Yeah,
even
Will
comment.
Is. Will is like eating just, cake. We are having cake.
If it isn't pizza. It's cake.
Yo.
So, we have really, really, really exciting news. We have Vance West on the phone with us. We're gonna talk about remote viewing. He's been doing this project. He's been doing a project, and they started it just a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna talk about this project. We're also gonna talk about the mechanics.
We're gonna start with that.
Yeah, the mechanics of remote viewing and how it works and why it works. And because, you know, we've heard a lot about remote viewing on the late night talk radio, you know, that's on radio stations. We've heard a lot about the results of remote viewing with the, you know, the Aaron Donahue series of shows on Ghostly Talk. So we've heard a lot about it. But what is it? How does it work? Why does it work? Who does these things?
It's
I mean, we've been going.
People are just getting tossed right into it.
Right.
There you are.
we've been so sucked into all this, the whole ideology of it, and I didn't really realize until a few weeks ago that I have no idea how it's done.
I realized.
I had an idea because I read a book by Joe McMonagle, you know, or somebody, and so I had an idea of what it was. Although it turns out that's only one way. There's different. They call them protocols, and there's different protocols and different ways that it's done. So we're going to get an explanation of all that from someone who's actually doing remote viewing, someone who set up his own website, his own team, his own group of remote viewers called Trinity Science. So trinityscience.com is where that website is. Of course, there's a link from our website, ghostlytalk.com.
Yes.
And so let's introduce Vance West of Trinity Science. Hi, Vance.
Good evening.
Hi. So tell us, remote viewing, what is it? Because we talked about it a lot, but we don't know what it is.
I have absolutely no idea. I don't know anything about it.
Well, this was a quick show. No, the thing is...
Viewing is dead. I don't know anything about it. Seriously, probably my definition or my favorite... phrase to try to explain what it is from Joe McMonagle's book, straight from the man. And basically, he kind of calls it the ability to produce information that is correct about a place, event, person, or object that's located somewhere else in time and space that the remote viewer is totally blind or unaware of. So that's kind of a roundabout definition of what remote viewing is. You could think of it as a very scientific method of clairvoyance. That's probably a better way of thinking of it. But it's a process, a very scientific method that was developed in conjunction with the military to try to produce or emulate the work that natural psychics do. And that's what the military was interested in. Could they take the average schmuckatelli, the average GI, and teach them a process that would allow them to gain unconventional information about places, people, events, or objects, or things, and that's what remote viewing is all about. It's about the science.
And does Joe or anybody say that there's an actual method to when you're actually doing it? Or see, the thing is, I believe in the book because I read Joe's book, and I think that it was basically left up to the person obtaining the information how to get the information. It didn't really matter to an extent.
Right.
What mattered,
you know, several different approaches. Back in the Joe is a very natural psychic. He's a very talented person that has very natural abilities, and he used something that we would classify as ERV or extended remote viewing. And that's the type of remote viewing where you lean back in a chair or a couch, and the lights are dimmed down, and you got drool coming out of your mouth, and you're producing sketches and talking about what you're seeing, and you kind of go into a very just before sleep type state where your brain waves and mental waves or at a level where you're able to access this kind of pre-dream type of information. And that's the type of remote viewing that Joe McMonagle did, and he was very, very good at it. Obviously, he has all types of, you know, scientifically documented examples of using it very effectively in real-world operations. But that's something we would consider ERV, or this kind of altered state type of remote viewing.
And that's what I think of when I think of remote viewing. I think you just sort of go into this state of some kind, and then you come up with either drawings or you know, descriptions and impressions of what you're seeing or what you're experiencing, and there you go. That's it. That's your remote viewing session. And what I thought originally that remote viewing was then what the Department of Defense in Project Stargate and all that kind of thing, that they had added to it. They didn't add, from what I understood at the time, this was a while ago because it's changed since, but what I understood at the time, they didn't add anything to the actual process that the person went through other than, you know, they trained that person in, you know, in getting in touch with their feelings, being able to open their inner eye, you know, the kind of stuff that you see maybe in California or you think about with psychics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they did. Thank you. So they did a lot of that, but the only thing that they really added to it was the incredible amount of scientific control to the experiment.
Right. Well, what happened is exactly, you had, you know, naturals like Joe McMonagle that were doing a process that was very personalized to them. The problem became later on, as the military unit became to prosper and get bigger as far as, you know, what they were doing, not prosper, that's the wrong word, but they had more successes, the different agencies, they needed more remote viewers. The problem became, you know, a process like Mr. McMonagle was using, you can't readily teach it or train it. So they developed, well, we need a way that we can teach, we need a process that we can teach to people coming in that maybe have some type of innate ability that have demonstrated this, but we need some type of teachable process. And that's when they went back to the labs, and they went back, you know, with the Ingo Swans and the people that really came up with a process and said, well, you know, how can we take, you know, how can we study the natural psychics, the Joe McMonagles, and come up with a teachable, trainable system? And there is where what we consider CRV, or controlled remote viewing, that was born out of that idea of needing a process that they can teach and train, and it was very controlled. And that's the later stages of the military group were using predominantly this controlled remote viewing, and it was a very structured, formalized process that I kind of explained a little bit, just touch bases on the presentation that you can get at the site. But it was very radically different. There was no altered states. There was no, you know, drool coming out of the mouth and babbling about, you know, sight contact. It was you know, basically attention management. You're sitting at a desk. You're sitting at a table, eyes open, aware, pen on paper, and producing information about a sight. And the idea is that if you engage your logical mind, your rational mind, with a process, if you keep it busy with something, then the information will flow. And it's just a matter of objectifying it and getting it all down in paper. So that was the idea. Create a process to keep the logical mind busy, and then we'll just get all the information, because it's there. The idea is you're connecting with a signal line. You're connecting to, whether you call, you know, this idea, you know, the Matrix. I don't like that term because, you know, that was something that the military coined back in the 70s, and now since the movies are out, you know, it's so overdone. But mm-hmm. What do you think of this information superhighway, you call it that, or the Matrix? The idea is you're connecting with it subconsciously. You're creating a signal line up to this this Matrix, or this information superhighway. The information is trickling down, and you just need to get it out. You need to get it on paper, you know, via a process, and that's what they created with CRV, or controlled remote viewing, is a process.
Did they have to change, because a lot of what they did with the DOD, with Project Stargate, was they added, you know, that was back in Joe McMonagle's day when the psychic would, you know, burn incense and chant and do whatever they needed to do without the CRV part.
Right.
They had developed around that these intense controls.
Oh, absolutely.
The controls of, you know, they decided, oh, this, and this was different. Here, let's go back to the very beginning when Ingo Swann did it.
Right.
Ingo Swann called it something different. He called it, like, exterior vision or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
instead of remote viewing. And they did a lot of these tests with Ingo at the ARE or some, not ARE, the other one. I can't remember. Anyway, they did a lot of tests, and he had some successes and stuff, but basically it was really uncontrollable at the time is what they ended up finding out, was it was uncontrollable. Sometimes he could even probably read a piece of paper, you know, that they had hidden in a locker in another room.
Right.
And then there's other times when he had absolutely, it just, like, totally was way off. So it was really bizarre. And they didn't have enough money or time or effort or energy or people or whatever to really hone in on it, other than to do the experiments and find that out. But that still helps.
Right.
So they started with that. That was just, you know, here's some phenomena. Let's look at it in a lab and see what we can come up with. And it was just, like, way too frayed and disarrayed for any actual use. Then comes the government with their psychic spies and remote viewers and basically the ERV, extended remote viewing, and they developed these intense controls where you know, the target was going to be blind, right? Then sometimes, still at this point, I believe they were taking actual photographs of people or actual photographs of places, putting it in an somebody somewhere would put it in an envelope. That envelope then would be handed to a controller, and the controller would say, this is your target, and they do the session. Nobody would look at that what was in the envelope until all the data went to somebody to score the
test. Absolutely. And that's the science of remote viewing, is what we would consider the protocols of remote viewing. Whether you're doing ERV, CRV, PRV, SRV, you know, FUV, it doesn't matter.
There's so many different ones, yeah.
Those methodologies or you know, techniques.
But
the protocols, that's the umbrella controls that you use for remote viewing. It doesn't matter which method you're using, but the protocols of the remote viewer being blind to the target. They got to be blind.
And they've even gotten better at that, because now they don't even take the photographs and put them in the envelope, do they?
A lot of times, well, it depends. It depends on the application, but a lot of times, no, you don't need it. I mean,
what somebody does, somebody somewhere, and it doesn't matter who, what, why, when, where, how, or if they know why they're doing it or who they're doing it for or anything, what they do is they take some target and they match it up with a code nowadays.
Absolutely. As long as it's asked, okay, the question is good. Pictures and things of that nature become what we consider target reference material. Sometimes it's helpful to give a viewer some type of reference material inside an envelope. It helps them, their subconscious, they don't see it prior to it, but it helps them give a perspective on how to access the site. But it's absolutely not necessary. But as you say, you know, what happens is a number is matched up to, you know, or, you know, alphanumeric, it doesn't matter if it's number or letters, whichever, some type of identifier is matched up to a question, and the remote viewer doesn't know the question. All they're given are these identifiers, and that's what they're given to go on. Back in the day, they used to use what they called outbounder experiments, where they would have someone, they might have a little locked up box in their car, and they would, you know, they might, the project manager would say, okay, you know, go to this location at 11 a.m. Open up this box, pick an envelope, open the envelope, it'll have a different location on there and a time to be there. Go to that location, be there at that time, look at where you're at, and the goal was, the remote viewer was to remote view where that outbounder was at that given time. So there was just extreme control scientifically in the beginning to test this. And, you know, being a military developed thing, you know, it's anal retentive. It's got to be that way. You have to have the science to prove. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a unit that was using this in life and death situations, you know, mission critical type stuff. So in order to prove what they were doing had value, you know, it, without a doubt, you know, the controls had to be there. So the science is just so incredibly important. Absolutely.
Vance, when you're remote viewing, mm-hmm. do you see, like, images, or do you see, like, a photo, or do you see, like,
yeah, that's,
video
rolling?
Yeah,
that's an excellent question, actually. Probably the biggest misunderstanding with remote viewing is that, you know, whether you're doing extended, you know, altered state type remote viewing, or, you know, the controlled, you know, sitting at a desk, pen and paper type thing, you typically don't see these really amazing visuals. idea of red, or you'll get the idea of something being cold, or you get the idea of something being big or wide or angled. You know, you get the ideas of that initially before you actually get visuals. Now, later on, in later stages of remote viewing, as you can see on some of the sketches we did in this project, as you get more and more target contact, and that's the idea, when you progress through these stages of remote viewing, the initial contact is literally you're producing this squiggle, and it's like a compressed archive, and your job as a remote viewer then becomes to probe and kind of extract the information from this little scribble. And as you progress and you get into later stages of target contact, and you've been in session for maybe 40-45 minutes, then you might get fleeting, real quick flashes of visual imagery that you start sketching down, but you don't get this static, you know, visual. And when you do, when you're in a session and you get this amazing, clear, static, non-moving image, it's imagination. It's garbage. It's your imagination giving you and rationalizing, you know, the data that you have. Oh, I have something that's warm, it's yellow, it's mushy. Oh, it's got to be a banana. And you get a picture of a banana. It's your imagination. It's trying to creep in and turn the information into something that's not. But you do see images later on, possibly, but it's very quick, fleeting flashes. Very, very different. Now, in extended remote viewing, when you're in these altered states and whatnot, yeah, you do. You get more of it's more of a visual oriented type of viewing, but it's still by far it's not like most people would imagine, where you actually can see everything and you're, you know, there and you're moving around. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you have a perfect spy experience where you're right at target and it's so vivid. In fact, with this project we've done, you know, I was talking to some of the other the viewers, the team. And probably some of the most powerful sessions that we've done, you know, individually. I mean, some of the most amazing work that we've done individually. I mean, I know my sessions were just amazing. I mean, it was as if I was at this site. It was really interesting stuff, very compelling.
So was it kind of like as if you were in like a clip of a little segment of a video? Could you kind of see it kind of played out? Do you ever see that at all?
You know, personally, I haven't seen, you know, what I would consider a, you know, a real quick montage of a video or something. I've seen quick flashes of something, and you try to capture it real quick on paper as quick as you can. But you don't see this movie per se. There's other methodologies. For example, I've done some training with the HRVG methodology, and they use a radically different approach, and it's based on NLP. And it's basically they do a lot of visual recalls, and they're much more visually. What they do is there's bigger emphasis on visuals, and you know that you see a little bit more of these miniature movies playing out in your head. But it's so difficult because you're inviting imagination when you do that. It's so hard. You have to stay. You have to keep moving. You have to just get the ideas out, objectify everything. No matter how silly it is, just get it on paper and move. But visually, yeah, it's not as engaging as most people would imagine.
What brought you into remote viewing?
What brought me into remote viewing was chicks. I wanted to get chicks.
And how's that worked out?
Nah.
But the same thing as playing in a band. That's what I thought would get me chicks is playing in a band. And
yeah.
Never,
ironically, before I changed careers, I was actually a professional musician, a drummer for quite a few years, actually.
Yeah.
And I went on the road when I was 16. I was in a heavy metal band, and hair down to my butt, and had the spandex, the whole deal.
I knew you had it in your voice. I felt it in your voice, Vance. I felt
Santa.
It. You're a rocker. I knew you.
Yeah,
were.
Man, I am totally. Born and lived in the 80s, man. That was my time. But what brought me into remote viewing was I spent many years since the late 80s involved in a very esoteric Buddhist training called Mikyo. And it's part of the martial traditions that I'm involved in. It's not a karate-based martial traditions. These are Budo Taijutsu, which is a very old, feudal Japanese martial traditions that have been passed down for thousands of years. And some of the higher training, the more spiritual, advanced mental training, involves things that people would consider ESP-related skills or training. The difference was that, over the years, here I am sitting in my pajamas and chanting. chanting my mantras and doing my mudras and all types of cool stuff. And I was like, wow, you know, this is really neat stuff. I'm getting neat results. But there's got to be an easier way to do this without all the dogma and the hoopla and everything else. And, you know, just lots of searching. And then I think it was in late 98, I was listening to Coast to Coast, like everyone else, and Major Ed Dames was on talking about remote viewing. And I thought, oh, you know, this sounds excellent. This sounds like a very scientific, streamlined approach to getting the same results that I was getting via all this other crazy stuff. And it was something that, you know, I can just work in an office or work at home at my desk in quiet time and do without all the crazy Asian trappings that I was used to. So that's what really got me into remote viewing, and that was, I guess, late 98, early 99. And, yeah, I went through training with SciTech and Farsight and then FM Bonzel, which is just an amazing instructor, and then later on went to the private training with Major Dames and did some training with the HRBG guys and just get whatever training I can. And I'm still constantly training and constantly seeking out more training with more individuals. But that's how I got into it. I was just interested in the mind and what it can do and you know, how far we can go with it. So that's you know, where I got interested anyway.
And your latest big thing is Trinity Science.
Yeah, Trinity Science, I spent a decade working in the private protection and investigation field, basically working for celebrities, VIPs, trapped, living out of a suitcase for about a decade. And so my background is nuts and consulting and close-in protection. And, you know, I got into remote viewing and, you know, the martial arts and everything plays along with that, but basically I got tired after a decade on the road. I was burnt out, man. I was tired. That's why, you know, the Secret Service, they don't let those guys on presidential details for 6 years because after that, they're fried. So 10 years of doing that, I was tired, and I wanted to transition out and just do more consulting where I didn't actually have to work one-on-one with a client or travel all the time. So the last couple years, I've transitioned out of that, and I wanted to take all these skills. I have so much different types of training, you know, whether it's private academies and security and investigation or military and law enforcement agencies that I've trained with and worked with. I have all these different training that I wanted to take all these different experiences and have some type of organization or a company that was offering not only consulting but also training, but more importantly, we were going to do what we teach and do, you know, basically apply it, because that doesn't happen a lot. You have all these different places that are doing lots of teaching and you know, we can teach you this or we have this video set, but none of them are really actually actively doing it. And that's the difference. So Trinity Science was basically, you know, the idea was I wanted a vehicle where I could do work and have all these skill sets and make it available to clients and do the consulting and do the work, you know, get out in the field and you know, get my nose in the dirt and see what we can do with these skills. So that's what it was born out of. It's consulting and training, basically.
And one of the things you've done, and we're going to be talking about it right after the break, is you've done this project with the folks of the folks of Trinity Science, because you've got a group going there.
Yeah.
You did a posse. You did this project.
Right.
To apply all of these things, because Trinity is relatively new. And I know you guys have had wonderful successes with lottery and things like that, these one-off kinds of things.
Right.
But you decided to really give RV a one big shakeout test.
Right.
And reveal the results even tonight. Mm-hmm. And so you gave them this project to do. Is it up on the Trinity website right now?
Active now. I made it active about 7:15, so you can hit hit that main image on the front page. It'll take you to the remote viewing presentation part of the site, and you just basically hit the link that says Jesus of Nazareth, and it'll download a PDF. It is in PDF format, so we need Acrobat, which is free from Adobe, but yeah, it's up there now live.
So everybody, right now, because we're going
right
to go to... No, really.
We're going to tell them.
No, really right now, because we're going to go to break. What we want to do is we want people to go there, download that PDF, go to trinityscience.com, click on the image, download the PDF, look through it briefly, because we're going to talk about that. If you're not already in the chat room, go to www.ghostlytalk.com and click on the live IRC chat link, or go to pioneer.rolo.net, pioneer.rolo.net. And do the text chat thing. Get in the chat room, because we're in the chat room with right now on the air live with Vance West. We're going to talk about this project for the next hour, and we'll also take some questions. So pop some questions up in the chat room as you go along. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. Let everybody digest that PDF, and we'll be right back.